Good morning, everyone. It is Tuesday morning, Parshas Vayikra, Tav Shem Pei Dalet. We left off yesterday in the middle of the Hakadama of the Ramban to Sefer Vayikra, and we elaborated on some of the things that the Ramban said, and then we're going to continue to finish this snippet, and at the point where he says, Vihinei. Rov HaSefer HaZeh BaKarbonos. Most of this book of Vayikra has to do with the laws of the Karbonos, VaHamakrivim, and those that sacrifice it, that means the Kohanim, UveMokom SheYizkarv, and the place that the animals are brought. In other words, all various facets, the Karbonos themselves, and what part of the Mishkan that they're bought, various animals are shechted in certain places, and the blood is sprinkled, and so on and so forth. It gives you precise detail in the very highly ritualistic Seder and protocols of the Karbon. And now we know that one is not allowed to eat chelev, certain forbidden fats of an animal, and also blood of an animal. And that is introduced here in Sefer Vayikra. It's actually introduced in the psukim that talk about bringing sacrifices. In others, in the karbonos there, it's going to tell me one is not allowed to eat chelev, one is not allowed to eat dam. However, that's not only limited to kachim, sacrificial meats. That's true by any animals as well, even, you know, to this very day. So because it introduces it in the mitzvah of karbonos v'nigra acha, and therefore it's thrown in there because it's talking about karbonos. Now v'nigra acha zeh lahasker hamachala masurim, and then dragged in, so to speak, is the mitzvahs of forbidden foods, one that one is not allowed to eat. Treif animals, kosher animals, now bavur shehen mitamim, because some of those animals, right, they are mitam, a person. If a person comes into contact with them, like shrutzim, right, so a person is defiled, so it brings tum on a person. So once a person is tameh, now you have to know other halachas of Vayikra. V'ha ochlam onageh b'hem, if a person eats those meats, those animals, or touches them, b'chol kodesh liyigah, he may not touch anything else that is holy. V'ala mikdash liyovah, he may not go into the mikdash. So in other words, everything is somehow connected. What, you know, the this bone is connected to the that bone, right? In other words, the iser of the eating the carbon is the chelev and dam is connected to the carbon, which takes us through even non-sacrificial. The eating and of non-kosher animals is connected to the kachim because it conveys tuma, and then once it conveys tuma, one is not allowed to come into contact with the mikdash. But it's true that one's not allowed to eat a rabbit any time, not only in the beis hamikdash, any time, even bezman hazeh. V'mnichnash sham b'tuma, and if a person does enter the mikdash in a state of tuma, he'll be chayiv in a carbon. Olav yored means a sliding scale carbon. Ola means the animal, the price of the animal goes up, it's an animal. The yored, if a person cannot afford the price of an animal, then in some instances he could bring a bird. If he can't even afford a bird, he could bring a flower offering. And that is true only in various, for various averis, but that would be true by a tuma. V'hutzach la'azke teres ha-metzorah, now, in the Sefer Vayikra, it needs to tell me the halacha of mitzora when he becomes a leper. Umishpat hayoledes, the laws having to do with a woman who is giving birth, because she becomes tameh, the mitzora becomes tameh. This woman becomes tameh, she has to bring karbonos. V'hazav, azav, a person who has any kind of tameh emissions. So what is the consequence of these four mitzora, yoledes, and azav? Because they also have to bring a carbon. Now it's true, right? And it's warning us against the tumah. Like it says, you should warn Klal Yisrael in the laws of tumah that they should not come to become tummy. Now one could argue, well, when a person becomes as a mitzora, per se, it's a condition that he has, and he's telling me what's it doing in Sefer Vayikra. Again, because of Mitzorah, there's several facets of being Mitzorah. The fact that he's Tameh, so it limits him into where he's allowed to go in terms of the encampment of Klal Yisrael. He can't go into holy places. And number two, he's got to bring, again, Karbonos in order to achieve for that. So everything that is in Sefer Vayikra, more or less, is connected with the underlying theme of Vayikra, which is to maintain the Tahara Torah and to maintain the closest to Hashem by bringing the karbanos when necessary. Now, we have the whole parsha in Achrimos, which we read on Yom Kippur afternoon. The parsha of Arayas, illicit sexual unions. Kimishkova metame. So you could say, what does it have to do with Vayikra? If a person commits adultery, if a person has incest, right? What does it have to do with Vayikra? It does have to do a lot of Vayikra, because the Torah characterizes forbidden sexual unions as metame. It conveys a tumah upon a person. Va'avoda va'avanam yikare tumah, and the avera that ensues when a person is transgresses any one of these kinds of sins, it's called tumah. The Torah characterizes it as tumah, garemus l'silak shchina, and it causes the Ribbono Shel Olam to recede his shchina, ulagolus, and for exile. You know, so that's a very big theme here. That our sefer, as Ramban says, we learned yesterday, is all about going from the highest level of geula and sefer Shmos, which is not just the geula of Mitzrayim, but it is the realization of the Mishkan, which is the embodiment of our tahara and our shechina, so to speak, and in Vayikra to maintain that, and if anything gets in the way, to bring karbanos to mitigate or to bring back the state of to mitigate the tumah, to bring back the state of tahara. So Arayus is that thing that brings about tumah to Klai Yisrael, and it brings about golos. You know, that's really that. There's a Maharal that says, and I've shared this with you over the years, the Maharal says, what is so terrible about the Gimel Chamuris? It says that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because Klai Yisrael was in violation of the three cardinal sins, adultery, idolatry, and murder, right? What are these three sins? I mean, as terrible as they are, right? But what do they have in common also? And what would that result in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? Because in all three of these averas, the Torah characterizes each one of them in their respective places as tumah, as a state of uncleanliness. It talks about the idolatry is tameh, and it says, like the Ramban just said, by Arayas is tumah, and also bloodshed brings about tumah. And any time that we introduce tumah to Klal Yisrael, we introduce anti-shechina, and that results in siluk ha-shechina, the banishment of the Shechina from Klal Yisrael, and that results in Gola. So this, the Ramban, in very few words, is just kind of touching on this theme by saying that's why it belongs in Sefer Vayikra. Now, Vayikra is here to protect the Madrega that we reached in Sefer Shemos, okay? And anything that is a threat to that, that violates that, finds its way in Sefer Vayikra. Va'od, ki ha-shogi be-mukhiv chatas. Now, another practical thing, if a person is over one of the arayas, if a person has one of the sexual trysts in a forbidden way, but it's done bishagi, unintentionally, right? He didn't realize that it's us, or whatever the case, however we characterize shogeg. So what does the kapar require? It requires a karban, and therefore we've already said this, that if a person sins unintentionally, that he brings a carbon. So again, in the wake of Arayas, we have also the bringing of a carbon. So everything in Vayikra is connected in one of these ways, maintaining the tahara or bringing a carbon when necessary. Now, in Emor, you get towards the middle or the middle end, you're going to get the parsha. The middle or the end is getting the parsha's Emor, which speaks about Eilam Moade Hashem. These are the holidays of Hashem, and it speaks about all the Yom Tovim. Right, that sefer parsha's Emor is the primary Torah reading that we do on Yom Tov. It talks about all of the holidays. Okay, holidays are very nice, but like, what are they doing in Vayikra? Like, what? Why has it find its way here? Ba'avur HaKorban. It's doing it because of the carbon, because that's what is brought on Yom Tovim. Kamasha Amras, it says, Eilam Moadei Hashem Asher Tikru Asam Mikrei Kodesh. These are the holidays of Hashem, these convocations of holiness. And what do you do then? Lahakav Ishel Hashem, to bring a korban, Olo Mincha Zavach Nosech and Dvar Yom B'Yom, whatever the korban may be. Let me just show you that there's a Ramban in Emor as it introduces this parsha of Yom Tovim, and I you don't have to if you have it easily, fine. It's at Revi'i and Emor, but I'm just going to read this paragraph. It says, Dabar b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people and tell them that these are the holidays. So the Ramban there says, Ein la kohanim esek b'inyan hamoados yosem ma'asher Yisrael b'hem. In other words, over here it says, Hashem says to Moshe, tell the Jewish people. It doesn't say command the kohanim, right? Which is a little unusual because most things in Vayikra are saying command the kohanim. He says the Ramban that kohanim have no greater connection to regular Yom Tovim than the regular Jew. Therefore, Aaron and his children are not mentioned in this parsha in Emor. Rak b'nei Yisrael, the general population. Sheyichlo kulum ke'echad, everyone's included as one at once. Ki lo perish karbonus hamusaf b'parsha, because you'll see that the karbonus of Musaf and their great detail is not mentioned in Emor. That's only mentioned in Parshas Pinchas and Sefer Bamidbar. You want to know all the karbonus and all the intricate karbonus of every single Yom Tov, you know, and the descending order of the karbanos on Sukkot and so on and so forth, go to Parshas Pinchas. Over here, it's not here. It's only a very fleeting mention of the karbanos. So then what is it doing here? If we're not going to elaborate all the karbanos, so it really doesn't find its way in Vayikra, which addresses kahanim and how to fulfill all the karbanos for us, but rather, bavur shehem yemei karbanos, because at the end of the day, at the end of the day, Yom Tovim, our days where various sacrifices are brought, the Yir Mazaleim, and there is an allusion when it says the craft of Ishal Hashem. And let me just show you. It's like this. These are the holidays, and it says, for example, on the first day of the 14th month is Pesach. The 15th day is Chag HaMatzah. 7 days you eat matzah. The first day is holy. The last day is holy. Right? It's basically introducing Pesach as a holiday. And then it says, and you feed crafty Yishal Hashem, and you bring karbanos for the 7 days. It's Mikra Kodesh. It's almost like tucked away neatly in the discussion of Pesach, the fact that there are karbanos. He calls that a remez. It's an illusion, right? It's not occupying front and center, says the Ramban. And therefore, since at the end of the day, you cannot deny that there is the concept called karbanos on Yom Tovim, therefore, it is in Sefer Vayikra, because after all, the karbanos are done on the Yom Tovim. They're brought, and therefore, all karbanos are in Sefer Vayikra. And at the end of the parsha, it says also, he says, hey, and the recaps, hey, l'moad Hashem, these are the holidays that you declare Yom Tovim, and l'hakubi shel Hashem, to bring the karbonis of alo herich levar musafim. But the Torah does not elaborate in parshas, Emor to talk about the musafim. And here's a very well-known Ramban that catches the attention of many mefarshim. He says, he ends up there, he says, Shalo Ratza Shein Hagu Behem Bamidbar, that the Torah doesn't want that the Karban Musaf should apply in the desert. It only came into being in Eretz Yisrael. Many, many Mefarshim disagree with the Ramban. In other words, the Ramban is making a very bold statement here that the Yom Tovim, for the 40 years that Klal Yisrael observed in the Midbar, on the day of the Yom Tov, they did not bring the Karban Musaf, right? And that was, so therefore there's no elaboration here. Number one, as I just told you, this is not the place, right? But also because an elaboration would kind of, draw a lot of attention to that. And in the Midbar, it did not apply. So if that's a Ramban, it's here in Parshas Emor. Okay. And it's a well-known Ramban, and the Ramban that takes a lot of criticism from Mefarshim, but and there seems to be some kashas from Gemaras against the Ramban. I just wanted to mention that you can't, because I didn't want to learn this Hakdam with the Ramban that we're getting back to now. In the snippet where he says that the mitzvahs of Shabbos and Tovim find their way in Vayikra, it says Bavur HaKorban. The Ramban says it very innocently here, right? But I just wanted to elaborate with that corresponding Ramban and Parshas Emor. Okay, as it says, Eila Moadei Hashem. V'rov Parshas HaSefer Hazeh, most of the parshias in this book of Vayikra, Yedaber Behem Im HaKohanim, most of them have to do with the direct commandments to the Kohanim. Namely, Daber Al Aram Val Banav, speak to Aaron and his sons, Savas Aram Es Banav, just an example of a parshias Kedoshim now, and when you go to Kedoshim, when it talks about other mitzvahs, so Ketzas Mitzvahs of Bnei Yisrael, that there are some mitzvahs that have to do, in others, for example, you're going to find in Vayikra, a slew of mitzvahs that really are not Kohanim, Kohen-centric. For example, do not bear a grudge and do not commit, do not do revenge. I mean, that's not v'kahanim, and don't lie, and all of these moral and ethical halachas that we find in Vayikra. Right, so all of these apply to Jews in general. Reuben, Negroes, and Minyanei HaKarban are B'damelah. Many of them are dragged in with, many of them, and he's not going through them, but many of them are happen to be brought in by dint of the discussion of Karbanos or similar things. And when we get to the proper place, and as those mitzvahs occur through Afa Yikra, we'll talk about what possibility or what does it have in understanding them in light of the rest of Sefer Vayikra. So Sefer Vayikra, for the most part, is ritualistic. It has to do with Karbanos. It has to do with Tumen Tahara, the protection thereof. And then you have other halachas that speak to the morals and the ethics. But even in other facets of Yiddishkeit, if you say, well, what is one of the main facets of Yiddishkeit? People will say kashrus, right? Where is kashrus? You wouldn't know that it belongs to Vayikra. Oh, yes, it does, because connected with Tumah, like we said, is that it conveys, connected with the kashrus, is that it conveys Tumah onto a person. So, and as I said yesterday, the Sefer Vayikra, right, oftentimes was really something that the Jews, didn't really, the world didn't really understand fully. You know, they're looking at part of it. For example, and I heard this in an old drasha from Rav Soloveitchik, Azatzal. He said that he gave this back in the 50s at the convention. He said that, he says, like, Karbanos were often misunderstood. People often thought that I could live whatever kind of life I want, any kind of immoral life. As long as I bring a Karban, I will be able to atone for that, right? He says, it just, that's not the case. He says, when a person lives an upright life, a moral life, an ethical life, a just life, and then if a person sins, so then... they atone with a carbon. Or if a person wants to bring a carbon, a nedava, out of the volunteerism of their heart, so then he calls that, once you live a moral and ethical life, you do the meat and potatoes of life, so to speak, so the carbonus that you want to bring is like, he calls it parparos l'sa'ud, it's like dessert, it's like the cherry on top, right? In other words, but you can't say, I'm going to live a life whatever I want, and then I will just bring a carbon, everything will be fine. In other words, so they misunderstood the carbon. The carbon is to add that special level of relationship that you have with Hashem. But you can't say, I'm just going to look at the first half of Vayikra and just do all the rituals and forget about the ethical behaviors. I remember I was sitting in a cab in Israel many years ago, 40-something years ago, and there was a cab driver, non-religious, and just, you strike up a conversation, with these cab drivers, he said it was before Yom Kippur, and I forgot how the conversation started. He says, "Listen," he says to me, he says, "I need lo dati." That's how it starts. I'm not religious. He says, "I do what I want all year, but Yom Kippur, I don't drive my cab. I go to Bet Knesset all day." He says, "And I say the tefillot, and one day a year I get forgiven. Kedai lo, isn't it worth it? You do what I want the rest of the year, and I'll come to Shul on Yom Kippur." And that was his attitude. That's his, I know the late Gershon Zeffron, he had the best line, one of the best lines I ever heard. The cab driver looks in the back, and he's wearing his black hat, and he says, "Hey, you," he says, "Why don't you go to the army?" Right? He's, a yeshiva guy. Why don't you go to the army? So he said back to him, "Lama talo dati? Why aren't you religious?" So the cab driver says, "Balev ani dati. In my heart, I'm religious." So Jonathan said, "Balev ani batzava. In my heart, I'm religious." Being a cardiac Jew doesn't answer all the questions. You gotta do. So that's what Sefer Vayikra is all about. Good morning. Have a good day. And we, it says in the Gemara, you should start with a joke. Today we ended with a joke.